1,000 performers. One gigantic musical statement. From the 2011 BBC Proms, Havergal Brian's Gothic Symphony. Kicking off a season of Proms Choral Sundays. Havergal Brian's Gothic Symphony at the Proms. Tomorrow night from 7 on BBC Radio 3.
Which is on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. Just gone 1 o'clock, time for the news from Ian Skelly.
Rupert Murdoch says News International is planning what he calls further concrete steps to deal with the phone hacking scandal at the News of the World. He's placed full-page advertisements in many of this morning's papers, in which he says he's deeply sorry for the hurt suffered by the individuals affected. He says he regrets not acting faster to sort things out. Mr. Murdoch also has apologised in person to the family of the murdered schoolgirl, Millie Dowler, whose phone was hacked by the News of the World. The Foreign Secretary, William Hague, has defended the government's relationship with Mr. Murdoch's senior executives after it was revealed that David Cameron had met them 26 times in 15 months. Mr. Hague said there had also been meetings with other newspapers, including the publishers of The Guardian and The Daily Mirror. The International Development Secretary, Andrew Mitchell, is visiting a refugee camp in Kenya where 400,000 people are seeking food aid. Britain is giving an extra £52 million to help those in Somalia, Ethiopia and Kenya affected by the worst drought in East Africa for 60 years. Mr. Mitchell urged the international community to do more to prevent a catastrophe. Detectives in Greater Manchester are investigating whether a batch of deliberately contaminated files of saline solution caused the deaths of 3 patients and affected 11 other people. They're questioning staff and patients and warning anyone entering the hospital they may be searched. It's thought the contamination involves the use of insulin. Royal Navy divers are searching for a Second World War mine weighing about 2,000 pounds, which they were planning to detonate in a controlled explosion. The device was picked up by a dredger yesterday off the coast of Essex. It had been tagged and a detonator fitted, but an RNLI spokesman said it had become detached from its marker. The weather for this afternoon, the spells of rain in Northern Ireland and Scotland will become more persistent. Across England and Wales, it'll be a blustery afternoon with sporadic rain. And that's the BBC News and the weather. The time now, 2.5 minutes past one.
And time to join Lucy Skeeping for today's Early Music Show.
Thank you. Victoria Mullova with the final movement, the Presto, from Bach's Sonata No. 1 for solo violin, one of the set of six sonatas and partitas Bach completed in 1720, each of them as extraordinary as the last. Of course, with any great composer, we don't always know exactly what inspired them to produce such music. A special commission, perhaps, or an ongoing arrangement. Bach, for instance, had to produce a new cantata each week, would you believe, for the church in Leipzig. But sometimes a particular performer can be the stimulus for a composition. And one man whose playing inspired some of the most remarkable violin music of the Baroque era was Johann Georg Pisendel, who's the subject of today's early music show. It's been suggested that Bach modelled his solo sonatas on an earlier one by Pisendel. But there were many others who were also impressed by Pisendel's talents. Telemann, Albinoni and Vivaldi all dedicated works to him, and we're going to hear some of them over the next hour. But first, well, just who was this Pisendel? Well, he was born in 1687 in Kadelsburg in central Bavaria. He became a chorister at the chapel of the Marquis of Brandenburg. Yes, those Brandenburgs. And when his voice broke, he was taken on as a violinist in the court orchestra, where he studied with Giuseppe Torelli, an Italian who was well up to speed in all the new Baroque styles of his native land. Pisendel's first proper full-time post, though, was in Dresden, in the orchestra of the Elector Friedrich August II. Here was a royal household that exhibited all the magnificence of an absolute monarch, and the arts played a leading part in the display. Architecture, painting, theatre were all encouraged, and when it came to music, the court simply buzzed with the very best performers from all over Europe. One of the perks, you could say, of being a member of such an elite organisation was the opportunity for foreign travel. And when the Crown Prince did his obligatory grand tour, along with his cooks, his dressers, valets, outriders, diplomats and the rest, he took his musicians too, which is how Pisendel found himself enjoying the delights of Venice in 1716 as part of the Prince's entourage. It was a 9-month stay, and this vibrant and colourful city certainly worked its magic on him, as it does everyone. But more than that, it enabled Pisendel to study with Vivaldi. The two became close friends, more like colleagues, really, than a teacher-pupil relationship. And so impressed was Vivaldi by Pisendel's playing that he dedicated several violin concertos to him, including the one we're going to hear now, the G minor. Fatto per il signor Pisendel, it says on the manuscript, and it doesn't get much better than that.
Thank you.
Shlomo Mintz, the soloist there, leading the Israel Chamber Orchestra in Vivaldi's Concerto in G minor, one of several he dedicated to Johann Georg Pisendel, the foremost German violinist of the day. Pisendel's time in Venice was nothing if not eventful. Naturally, the Crown Prince of Saxony was keen to show off his star violinist, and the story goes that one evening Pisendel was asked to perform a concerto by Vivaldi between the acts of an opera. The final movement featured a daunting set of very fast demi-semiquavers in the highest register, quite a challenge even for the most accomplished of players. And the orchestra, all Italians, mischievously decided to speed up to try and wrong-foot this jumped-up foreigner as they saw him. But they were no match. Pisendel simply stamped his foot loudly to keep a steady tempo, played every single note like a bell, and put them all to shame, so the story goes. Mind you don't get to that level of confidence without years of study. And Pisendel had already cut his teeth as a performer in Leipzig, as a member of the Collegium Musicum. This was a large orchestra, in effect, some 40 players who performed at civil ceremonies, public concerts and festivals, even in the city's coffee houses, where rehearsals were open to any member of the public who was interested enough to sit and listen. It had been founded by Telemann, a composer Pisendel very much admired. The two had become close friends and they corresponded for many years, Telemann dedicating several early concertos to Pisendel. And later, when Pisendel became director of the Dresden Court Orchestra, Telemann produced this dazzling concerto for him to add to his collection. Here's the opening movement, a stylish tribute to Pisendel's amazing playing. And not forgetting his orchestra, which Telemann described as the celebrated exquisite virtuosos of Dresden. Thank you. the opening movement of Telemann's Concerto in F, performed by Virtuoso Saxone, conducted by Ludwig Gutler. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and we're exploring some of the music written for the great German violinist of the first half of the 18th century, Johann Georg Pisendel. Another composer who was inspired by Pisendel's playing was Tommaso Albinoni. This eldest son of a Venetian paper merchant might well have sat back and enjoyed the fruits of the family business, but he chose instead to enter the world of music. A dilettante, he called himself in the best sense of the word, of course. With his good business sense, he set up a thriving cottage industry, selling his own compositions, sonatas and concertos to anyone who wanted to buy them. And there were many who did, not least the tourists who flocked into Venice each winter and turned up at his door with requests for the latest work. And guess what? It was on that trip to Venice with the Crown Prince of Saxony that Pisendel came into contact with Signor Albinoni, who, like Vivaldi, dedicated several sonatas to this young violinist, one of which we'll hear now, the sonata in G minor. It begins with a rather stately allemande, with typical French dotted rhythms, and a little double stopping for a touch of spice. The players are La Serenissima.
Thank you.
La Serenissima. The violinist Adrian Chandler, cellist Gareth Dietz and Robert Howarth on the harpsichord with one of the sonatas that Albinoni dedicated to his friend, the virtuoso German violinist and composer Johann Georg Pisendel. And yes, Pisendel was a composer too. So far, we've only been listening to works by others who dedicated their music to him. But for our last two pieces, we're going to hear from the man himself. In fact, it was only when Pisendel was already a celebrated violinist that he turned seriously to composition. And luckily, his employers in Dresden were only too happy to allow him to do so. Here's Anton Steck with what's probably Pisendel's best-known work today, his sonata in A minor for unaccompanied violin. The piece which, as we've heard earlier, may well have been the inspiration for Bach's own famous solo sonatas. It starts with a freestyle movement that seems to explore all the corners of the instrument, and then comes a more lyrical feel as the lone violin takes on melody, harmony and rhythm all in one go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sonata for violin solo in A minor by the acclaimed violinist Johann Georg Pisendel. It was played there by Anton Steck on a gorgeous Galliano fiddle made in 1701. And in fact, rather like Pisendel, Anton is also a concertmaster of a leading German orchestra, Musica Antiqua Köln. After some 12 years in the violin section of the Dresden Court Orchestra, Pisendel finally became its director. He remained in the post for some 25 years, during which time he transformed the orchestra from a good provincial court band into an ensemble of international standing. The philosopher Rousseau rated it the most accomplished in Europe, on a par with those of Berlin and Paris. It even knocked spots off Vivaldi's famous all-girl orchestra at the Pietà in Venice. All this, though, was largely thanks to Pisendel's personal energy and innovation. He broadened the repertoire to include a strong Italian element, music he'd brought back with him from his foreign travels. He encouraged fellow players to compose themselves and spent hours rearranging works to make them perfectly fit the rich tonal and technical possibilities of the orchestra, all of which may explain why, in fact, so little of his own music exists. He just didn't have enough time to compose, which is a shame because the few works we do have show an amazing creative potential and a rare mastery of instrumental writing. We're going to end today with the joyful Allegro from Pisendel's Violin Concerto in D, and it's played here by the Freiburger Baroque Orchestra with director and solo violinist Gottfried von der Goltz. But I'll leave the last words to Telemann, who outlived his friend and wrote a poem in his honour upon the death of the Polish king's late concertmaster, Herr Pisendel. Friend, I shall never more kiss you. Death has snatched you from me. What a treasure I must do without. How many excellences died with you, reared in the bosom of musical art, surpassing great masters through finger and bow, a favourite at court, but acting without pride and according to old German loyalty. I gladly extol your praise. Thank you.
the Freiburger Baroque Orchestra with the director and soloist Gottfried von der Goltz in the Allegro from the Concerto in D Major by Johann Georg Pisendel, who was the subject of today's Early Music Show. The programme was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Manchester by Sam Phillips. Tomorrow, Lucy talks to the conductor Jeffrey Skidmore about early music developments in Mexico. That's at the same time, just after 1 o'clock. And a reminder that you can now download, if you wish, a podcast version of a previous edition of the Early Music Show via the Early Music Show webpage at the Radio 3 website.
It's BBC Proms Week 1, and our second visiting overseas orchestra launches one of the big themes of the 2011 season. The Orchestre Philharmonique de Radio France brings with it some musical French connections, works by Messiaen, Stravinsky, and the UK premiere of a new work by Pascal Dussapin. All of this rich menu of music is spread over two concerts on two consecutive nights. Join me, Rob Cowan, for the first instalment Monday night at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
We're coming up in a moment, the lunchtime concert, and after that, at 3 o'clock, there's World Roots. And as part of the 2011 World Roots Academy, the British-born veena player Harry Sivanesan travels around Tamil Nadu in South India to learn more about the classical music he's grown up playing. Together with his mentor, the acclaimed vocalist Aruna Sarum, and the presenter Lucy Duran, he embarks on a journey of musical and emotional discovery. That's World Roots at 3 o'clock. Now it's 2 o'clock and we come to the lunchtime concert, a second chance to hear last Monday's recital from Wigmore Hall in London. It's introduced by Fiona Talkington.
Heaven and earth, life and death, night and day, light and darkness. These are the threads running through the music today. Add to this a voice which has been described as liquid gold, the countertenor Yestin Davis, who's put together an intriguing programme for this last concert in the present Wigmore lunchtime season. He's joined by the pianist Julius Drake in songs which include Dowland and Mahler, Fauré, Rubra and Vaughan Williams, four groups of songs in fact, each with a different theme. First come songs about animals, Poulenc's first settings of words by Apollinaire in Le Bestiaire, the Book of Beasts. There are dromedaries, the Tibetan goat, the grasshopper, dolphins playing in the sea, the crayfish, and the carp, the fish of melancholy. And then a haiku by the Icelandic-born Bláa Kinsdóttir, the snow has fallen, all is hidden except for the lovely blue sheep. But the group begins with a song which sums up what this concert is all about. Stuart McRae's setting of a 14th century text, In the Lith of This World. And here now are Yestin Davis and Julius Drake to perform the first three songs by Stuart McRae, Poulenc and Bláa Kinsdóttir.
Thank you. Thank you.